We're going to continue today on this journey that we've been taking that we started several weeks ago through the Sermon on the Mount. And today, once again, just as I said to you last week, one of the things as we approach the Sermon on the Mount that we tend to do is we tend to look at this and we try to explain it away because these are difficult passages for us to read sometimes and understand. And my word to you today before we begin is, let us look at these and let us hear what Jesus has to say to us. And let's see if we can really ask ourselves what Jesus might be trying to say and how that might apply to our lives as we come once again to the Sermon on the Mount. The scripture today is Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading with verse 27 and read down to verse 30. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as you read through Matthew chapter 5. You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. May the Lord add a blessing both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity we have once again to be gathered together in this community of faith for worship. And we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. I especially pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that what you have to say to us today, we might hear and receive it, that it might be more for us than just information, but indeed, we pray, Lord, that your word might transform our lives, and that we might leave this place transformed because we spent some time thinking about, praying about, hearing from your word. All this we ask, God, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we offer this prayer this morning. Saying, amen. You know, it's interesting as we think about this next portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Because honestly, you remember last week when Jesus was talking first about murder and then he kind of went back to anger? Today, Jesus starts off talking about adultery and he ends up going all the way back to lust, to kind of the beginning. And just as last week, if you remember, we talked about how ridiculous it would be for somebody in Galilee to have to travel all the way to Jerusalem with their offering, leave the animal at the altar, and go all the way back to make peace with someone. This week, we hear Jesus say something that just really we don't know what to do with. If your eye causes you to sin, Jesus says, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, and did you notice in both places, Jesus said, even if it's your good hand? I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose either one of my eyes, my good eye or my not-so-good eye, or my good hand or my not-so-good hand. And I've got this strange feeling that Jesus wasn't trying to say to us that we need to go around with eye patches and hooks on our hand as if we were some kind of pirate. I don't think that's what Jesus was trying to get to. I think what Jesus was trying to say to us is that this is very, very serious. And we live in an age where lust is nothing more than a joke to most folks. It's something that we laugh at. It's something that we see on TV and we say, oh, isn't that funny? But for Jesus, it's more than that. For Jesus, lust is one of the most dangerous things that we can engage in. And once again, Jesus has taken adultery as an act and said, oh no. It starts way, way back here when you begin to lust. That's where it happens. And if you look at someone else, lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery, Jesus says. What do we make of this, particularly in our time when, again, it seems as though lust has become a joke for us to even talk about. It's something that most people would say, it's not even something that's on my radar. What do we do with this? Well, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to take it very seriously, because I don't think that Jesus actually intended for people to pluck out their eyes or to cut off their own hands. But I think what Jesus was trying to do was to say, hey, pay attention. This is very important, what I'm about to say to you. And it's interesting the way that Jesus comes about what he says. You know, twice he says, it is better for you to go into life with one eye than to go into death, to go to hell with your whole body. And he says the same thing about our hands. So what was Jesus really, really trying to get at? Well, I think he was trying to say, you know what? There's a tendency to say that if we haven't broken the law, we saw this last week, didn't we, with murder, if I haven't committed murder, then I'm okay. And just like last week, Jesus is saying, you know, you can't say that I haven't committed adultery and be okay. That's not enough. My expectation for you as disciples is that you will create boundaries around yourself and that you will not give in to your bodily desires and to lust. And again, this is so different than what we're used to see. Whether it's in the media, in movies, in television, it doesn't make any difference. Because we live in a culture that is saturated with lust, and indeed that we're encouraged to lust. A couple of nights ago, I was in the other room, and I was listening. Kim had the TV on, and I could hear the commercial, and it kept talking about how sleek, how beautiful, how sexy. I thought, well, that caught my ear. So I walked around the corner to see what it was. They were talking about a car. I mean, they were using imagery that we would normally use to describe a human being, a beautiful human being, to describe a car. And I thought to myself, boy, is that where we are with lust, that we don't even recognize it? Indeed, we're not only encouraged to give in to our lusts and to be lustful people, we're encouraged to lust not after just other human beings, we're encouraged to lust after things, after stuff. And Jesus steps right into the midst of us and says, I want you to pay attention to this because it's very, very important. You need to not give in to this, because if you do, it's going to lead you down a bad road that you don't want to go down. It's going to lead you to a place where I don't want you to go. I don't want you to be. And anybody who's ever been caught up in the throes of lust or who has gone down the path of adultery, you know exactly why Jesus said this, don't you? You know. That you think that it's okay, and you think that what you're doing is okay, and you begin to justify it, you rationalize it, you begin to say, oh, well, this is okay, and before you know it, you end up in a huge, huge mess. And it all started, Jesus says, with that first thought. That first thought. That's where it starts. A couple of weeks ago at our house, we began to realize that we had a mouse problem. I came home one night, Kim said, you know, I think we have some mice in the house. I said, well, what makes you think that? She said, because one ran in front of me. Well, that's usually a good sign that you have a mouse problem if you're seeing one running back and forth. So we start trying to catch these mice. And I don't know what it is about us and mice, but we always get the most clever mice that exist. Because we kept putting out traps, and the mice kept coming and taking the bait. Well, I'm going to tell you, I could have told the mice this. They just asked me, you don't want to mess with Kim Potts. You don't want to mess with her. You don't want to do that. And so pretty soon, Kim starts to try to out-fox the mice. And she starts making sure that they can't get the bait out of the trap. And as soon as she does, you know what happened? Boom. We caught one. Boom. We caught two. Boom. We caught three, four, and five. Okay? All right? Now I'm going to tell you something. You see, the problem with lust is it's kind of like mice that are running around in our house. Some people want to keep mice as pets. Okay, whatever. That's what you want to do. But the thing about it is that they get in and you really don't know they're there. And then sometimes, just kind of like lust with a mouse, you might say, okay, so we got a mouse. But you see, just like lust, they were breeding. And they were multiplying. And pretty soon it got to be a problem. The thing I think what makes me think about this is I think about these traps. The mice traps. And, in the old days they were different. We have some wooden traps at our house because, again, you don't want to mess with Kim Potts. So she got some of those serious traps with the big metal pieces on them. But these work just as well. But you see what happens to us with lust? We're kind of like the mice. We say, I got there again. I'm kind of messing around with it, and it's never going to catch me, is it? And Jesus said, hey, you know what? You need to stay away from the bait. You need to stay away from the bait. Folks, lust is the bait. It is the bait. We have to draw boundaries around ourselves. We have to make sure that we are keeping boundaries around ourselves. Because it's not, we might get caught up in lust, and you say, I can better throw this. Or can't. You see, Jesus said what he said about plucking out eyes and cutting off hands. Because Jesus thought this was a serious, serious issue. And it wasn't just because it might lead to adultery. Jesus took it way back and said, no. What's more important, again, and we're going to see this over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount, what's most important is what's going on in your heart. And whether or not you ever get into lust externally, it's not the point, Jesus says. It's not the point whether you ever give into it, whether you ever get caught. The point is that once you start, it starts messing in your heart. And pretty soon, before you know it, you got a problem. And the problem is easily solved if we are willing to put boundaries around us and to say, hey, maybe I don't need to watch that. Maybe I don't need to see this. Maybe this joking around about lust that we always do. I remember when I first started working for Kroger when I was 16, and it was a joke. It was a joke. Every time a beautiful woman came into Kroger, within 5 minutes, every man in the store knew she was there. It was a joke. Somebody come along, I'd be over working somewhere, and somebody said, hey, man, look over the aisle four. Let me get over there. It was a joke. But you see, Jesus says it's not funny. It's not funny at all when you end up trapped. When you end up trapped by your own lust, by your own desires. And so Jesus says, it's not just about committing adultery. It's about what's going on in our hearts. and understanding that really the only way I think that we're ever going to combat lust, that we're ever going to be able to break free of the chains of lust, is when we realize that what we desire more than anything else, we might think we desire someone. We might think we might desire someone that's beautiful, someone that would make us happy, particularly those of us who are married. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could just trade you in on a new model. But what we know is that commitment is what makes a marriage work. It's about commitment. It's about staying away from lust. And one of the ways we can do that is when we realize that our number one desire is not physical desire. It's a desire for love. It's a desire to be loved. It's a desire to be known, even as we are known. It's a desire for somebody to look us in the eye and say, I love you even though you're flawed. Even though you're not perfect. Even though you don't do everything right, I love you anyway. And I'm going to tell you what, there's not one human being on this planet who's going to give you that love. The only place that love comes from is God. And you see, one of the things that I think happens to us when we fall into love is that we forget that what we need more than anything else, this great big hole that we all have in our hearts, that we try to put things into, and people into, can only be satisfied by the unconditional grace and love that we get from God through Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will satisfy us. So sometimes when we find ourselves falling into lust, when we find ourselves, you know, wanting something and desiring something and having that disordered desire, what we need to say to ourselves is, maybe I need to check my relationship with God, because I bet it's not where it needs to be. Because God is really the only thing that can satisfy what we need in our hearts. God is the only thing that can satisfy that. And there's nothing more sad or pitiful, I think, than when we start to try to fill that great big hole in our hearts. The hole that only God was intended to fill, we start trying to fill it with something else. This is not. So may we be people who understand that what we need most of all is not a person or a thing, but it is to spend time with the only one who can give us the unconditional. Once we realize that, we won't be immune from the temptations of lust, but we'll understand that once you've tasted the unconditional love and grace of God, nothing else comes close. Nothing else ever comes close. So maybe we be people who recognize that Jesus was serious, very serious in this discussion about lust. It's not a joke. Jesus was serious about it. And I believe what Jesus wants us to know is that the love that we are looking for, the thing that we need the most, only comes through Him. Only comes. So may we seek Him with all that we have. And know that when we do, we are a step closer to defeating the lustful